This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of Taking It All by Maya Banks, performed by Alex Dale. 1. Chessie Morgan pulled into a parking spot at the Lux Cafe in Houston, her eyes widening in surprise when she saw both Kylie's and Joss's cars parked short distances away. Kylie being there didn't shock her. Kylie was always punctual. But Joss? Joss was perpetually running late. Chessie and Kylie almost always had to wait on Joss, who'd dash laughingly inside the restaurant where Chessie and Kylie waited, an unnecessary apology always on her lips for her tardiness. And, well, who could ever get mad at Joss, especially for something so insignificant as being habitually late? Joss was just someone who lit up a room with her warmth and sweetness. She'd come a long way from grieving widow after losing Carson to where she was now, happy, in love, married to Dash, her former husband's best friend. Chessie was genuinely thrilled for both her friends. Joss and Kylie had both found love. For Kylie, this was huge. She'd made monumental steps in her life, being able to finally overcome the demons from her past that had ruled her present for so very long. Kylie had more than met her match in Jensen, and they made a wonderful couple. Chessie didn't doubt for a single moment that Jensen was absolutely perfect for Kylie. If only Chessie could say her own love life, her marriage, was as perfect as her friend's. She let out a sigh and climbed out of her Mercedes SUV, glancing ruefully back at the 7-passenger vehicle. When Tate had surprised her with it, she'd wondered why on earth he'd gotten her something so big, but he'd looked at her with that charming, devilish twinkle in his eyes and told her that it was the perfect car to hold their children. The children they used to talk about having. It had been a frequent topic early in their marriage. They'd spoken of their dreams of a large family and a house full of children, love, and laughter. But more recently, Tate had been unwilling to broach the subject of having children. He was still building his business after going out on his own and having his partner bail on him. He wanted to wait until things were more stable and he was established before having children. But Chessie wondered quietly if that day would ever come. She hadn't had the courage to broach the subject in the last year. She felt as though Tate was slipping further and further away from her. His career was taking over, and she was second or even third, or God only knew how far down his priority list she currently was. "For God's sake, Chessie, quit being a drama queen. It's not that bad. Tate loves you. You love him. You just have to be patient and see this through. Everything will work out," she scolded herself aloud. She braced herself to greet her friends as she entered the restaurant and made certain her expression contained none of her dour thoughts. The last thing she wanted was to worry them more than they already were. They'd known for months that things weren't as they should be. She saw the looks passed between them when they thought she wasn't aware. But she missed nothing. Not the worried looks, not the doubt in her friends' eyes. She knew they were deeply concerned about hers and Tate's relationship. But both women were happy, deliriously so, and Chessie didn't want to drag them down into the mire of her own unhappiness. She was the bubbly one of the group, the one everyone always counted on for good cheer, the happy spark. Except she was absolutely horrible at concealing her emotions. Good or bad, she was utterly transparent. When she was happy, she was really happy. Exuberant, bubbly, sparkling even, as her friends often told her. The problem with that was when she wasn't happy, she was an open book for her friends to see right through any sort of facade, and no amount of acting ever fooled them for a second. Still, she gathered herself and pasted on her brightest smile, which made her cheeks ache with effort, as she walked up to the booth Kylie and Joss already occupied. "Thank God you're here," Kylie exclaimed, immediately grabbing Chessie's hand and dragging her into the curved booth beside her. "Joss is practically glowing, and she has that I've got a secret look in her eyes, but she refused to spill until you arrived." Chessie plopped down, having been yanked into the seat by Kylie, and grinned at Kylie's outrage that Joss would hold out on her until Chessie arrived. Some of her earlier ache dissolved, because how could it not when she was with her two best friends in the world? Just being in their presence lifted some of the sadness that seemed to have become a permanent fixture in her life lately. "Ah, okay, I see what Kylie's talking about now, Joss," Chessie said, studying her friend. "You've got a definite cat who got the cream smug look on your face, and you are positively glowing. So spill. The sisterhood is together and accounted for. Don't make me hurt you, because I can guarantee Kylie will be with me on this. Poor girl has already had to wait for me to get here. We'll sit on you if we have to, so spill already." Kylie nodded fervently, and all eyes were glued to Joss's radiant smile that spread over her face, lighting up every delicate feature. It was a sucker punch to Chessie's stomach. Joss did look radiant, and so happy that it almost hurt Chessie to look at her. But there was no freaking way she'd ruin her friend's moment in the sun by allowing even a hint of her own unhappiness to cloud the gathering of best friends. "Tash and I are pregnant," Joss said with unconcealed joy. "I'm pregnant," she amended, her face softening, eyes glowing with love and happiness. "We're having a baby." Kylie squealed and immediately threw her arms around Joss, hugging her tightly, ignoring startled looks from other restaurant patrons seated in close proximity to the women's booth. Chessie immediately rose, though her stomach had plummeted, and rushed around since Kylie separated Joss and Chessie. She slid in on the other side of Joss and tugged her away from Kylie's fierce grasp. "I'm so happy for you," Chessie whispered, so she didn't have to choke the words out around the lump forming in her throat. Joss hugged her back and then pulled away, her gaze piercing as she studied Chessie. "Thank you," Joss said quietly. "Now perhaps you can tell us what's going on with you and why you look so unhappy. Is it Tate? Have things gotten worse?" Chessie's heart sank. She should have known of all people she couldn't fool her best friends. And now that Joss was basking in the glow of her news, glorious news, and the realization of a long-time wish come true, the very last thing Chessie wanted to do was dampen the celebration. She reached down, grasping Joss's hand and squeezing. "This is your moment to shine, girlfriend. We can talk about my woes another time. Right now we need to be toasting the mother-to-be and planning all the fun stuff like baby clothes and possible names. Oh my gosh, Kylie, you and I have to plan a kick-ass baby shower for Joss, the likes of which no one has ever seen. And we're so making the guys get involved. No wimping out because it's a girly activity." Kylie and Joss exchanged looks, as they often did when they didn't think Chessie could see, and Chessie inwardly winced that she was evidently the cause of so much worry for her friends. "Do you honestly think for one moment that I would be so wrapped up in the wonderful news of my pregnancy that it would override everything else?" Joss asked, clear reprimand in her tone, though it was the gentlest of reprimands. Joss was hardly the kind of woman who ever came across bitchy or mean-spirited. She simply didn't have it in her. She was kindness personified and had the biggest, most forgiving heart of anyone Chessie had ever known in her life. Chessie held up her hands. "I know, hun. I know. Believe me, I do. I just rather not rehash it all on a day we should be celebrating. It's not like anything has changed. It's just the same old story, and I'm just being a whiny, needy baby. Things will get better." Joss lowered her voice, her eyes filling with love, so much love for her best friend that it nearly brought tears to Chessie's eyes. "I know it had to be hard to hear that I'm pregnant," Joss said gently. "I know you've wanted children, that it was once what you and Tate both wanted, and that you still do, but he's the one wanting to hold off now. And now you've even questioned the motives for wanting a child now. We've had that discussion recently and agreed that until you and Tate get beyond this current rough patch, that a baby would only complicate matters." Chessie wasn't going to lie to the women she loved most in the world, her best friends, her sisters, her rocks. "I won't say it doesn't sting a little. Okay, a lot," she amended when she caught sight of the look Kylie shot her. One that said, "You aren't fooling anyone, girlfriend." It's no secret that I've wanted children, a big family. I want what I was never given as a child. I want a brood of little ones that are secure in the fact that they are loved and wanted with every single part of my heart and soul. You want for them what your parents never gave you, Kylie said softly. Chessie shot her a look of understanding. Chessie and Kylie had one thing in common as far as childhoods went. They were both unwanted, but the similarities ended there. Kylie had suffered a horrific, abusive childhood at the hands of the monster that was her father. Chessie could never say she was abused, physically or verbally. She simply didn't exist, not to her parents. Chessie had been a very unplanned child to parents who never intended to have children. And as such, they didn't change their lives to adjust to having a child. They simply went on as before, Chessie being an unwanted nuisance. Her childhood had been one of neglect, not abuse, but then some would argue that neglect was indeed a form of abuse. Chessie hadn't been physically harmed, but emotionally? Definitely. Tate knew of Chessie's childhood, her memories of being lonely and overlooked. It had infuriated him, and he'd vowed she'd never feel that way with him. Until now. He'd always made it his priority to put her first. Her wants, her needs, her desires, some of which she expressed, but mostly Tate intuitively understood and satisfied them for her without prompting. He often fulfilled needs she hadn't even realized she had at the time. He'd always gone above and beyond to give her all the things she'd lacked as a child. God, she wanted that back. She wanted her husband back. Wanted for things to be the way they had been before he'd branched out on his own, forming his own financial planning company with a partner who'd then bailed, leaving him to meet the needs of all their clients. And in her heart, she knew that Tate was still acting on his desire to see to her every need. He never wanted her to lack for anything he could provide, financially. She knew his heart was in the right place, but money wasn't what Chessie wanted most. Financial security was all well and fine, but at the expense of her marriage. She just wanted her husband back, the one who saw to her emotional needs above all else, not her financial needs. Because money was no substitute for love, no substitute for the man she adored beyond reason. How could she get him to understand that without causing a rift between them, one that may not be able to be repaired? And she simply couldn't countenance that. Nothing was worth losing Tate over. Certainly not her ridiculous insecurities and needy, clingy demands that seemed insignificant in the larger picture. Most women would be grateful for a husband who busted his ass every single day to provide for his wife. How to explain that material things meant nothing to her if they came at the expense of her marriage and the broadening gap forming between them? Sweetie, what is going on with you and Tate? Joss asked, concern creasing her forehead. We've discussed this so many times, and yet I keep getting the feeling that you aren't telling us the whole truth, that you're holding back at least a part of what you're feeling and experiencing. Are you still worried he's cheating on you? Chessie sucked in her breath. The very thought, however fleeting it may be, that Tate would ever cheat on her, filled her with such agony that she couldn't dwell on it for the pain it caused her. She truly regretted that moment of weakness when she'd shared that fear with her best friends, no matter how little she truly believed it. I know he loves me, Chessie said firmly. I know he wouldn't cheat. He has too much honor. If he wanted another woman, I know he'd be forthright with me and just ask for a divorce. God, the word divorce sent waves of agony through her heart and soul, even though she knew it wouldn't come to that. But panic quaked through her at the very idea of her marriage truly ending. It wasn't a thought she could even linger over because of the devastation it caused her. But love isn't about causing pain for the person you care about, Kylie quietly inserted. Lord knew Kylie recently had become very acquainted with pain and love, and her own brush with the end of a relationship. If she hadn't kicked Jensen's ass for ending things with Kylie for her own good, they'd probably still be apart and absolutely miserable without one another. He doesn't know he's hurting me because I haven't told him, Chessie said softly. That's on me. He can't be expected to fix something if he doesn't know the problem or the solution. I admit I'm being a coward. Part of me wants to just beg him to stop focusing on business, tell him that I don't care about having a lot of money in the bank. Well, the other part of me thinks that if I just suck it up and ride it out a little longer, things will resolve themselves, and I'll have my husband back, and everything will go back to the way it used to be. Joss and Kylie both sighed in resignation. It wasn't as if they hadn't discussed the subject a half a dozen times already. Chessie knew that neither agreed with her thinking or approach to the problem, but they loved her and supported her unconditionally. And for that, she loved them beyond reason. Part of her recognized that they had a right to be frustrated with her. They listened to her whine about a problem she herself wasn't willing to address, much less try to fix. Chessie knew she had her head firmly in the sand and was in denial over the state of her marriage, but to even contemplate any other alternative meant she had to admit that her marriage was in trouble, and she wasn't prepared to do that. Yet. "Our anniversary is this Friday," Chessie said, purposely brightening her tone in an effort to relieve the somber turn of the conversation. "Tate has promised me an intimate dinner at the restaurant, where we always have our anniversary dinner. No cell phones, no business. He plans to take off early, and he said the entire weekend is ours. And," she said, drawing out the word, "he says he has very distinct plans for after dinner, so I can hardly wait. I think having this one weekend where it's just us will do wonders for my insecurities and silliness. I never should have let it get to this point. I recognize that I'm at fault for not communicating better with Tate, for not telling him of my unhappiness. But this weekend, when it's just the two of us and our focus is solely on us, I absolutely plan to talk to him about everything." Kylie and Joss both wore identical looks of relief. "That's wonderful, sweetie," Joss said. "I'm so glad you're taking this step," Kylie said. "I agree with you. A weekend with just the two of you is probably exactly what you need to feel better about everything. And talking to him and opening up about the way you've been feeling is a huge step in the right direction. I can't imagine Tate not moving heaven and earth to make you happy again. But as you said yourself, he has to know about the problem if he's going to be able to fix it." Chessie smiled, her heart lightening and some of the ache slipping away as she soaked in the healing balm of her girlfriend's unfettered, unconditional love. God only knew Chessie was usually the one freely dispensing advice and threatening to kick Joss and Kylie's asses over certain matters when it came to their happiness. It made her a flaming hypocrite that she wasn't taking a dose of the same medicine she dished out to her friends, and that she was quick to tell them what they should do, but then shrugged off their advice. Sound advice, to boot. Ah, well, no more. She was resolving to have the best anniversary weekend ever. She and Tate would rediscover the love she knew they still shared. They'd spend a wonderful weekend together, loving and laughing, and she would talk to him about her growing unhappiness. It was time for her to stop being a spineless guppy and take a stand when it came to her own life and relationship with a man she loved with all her heart and soul.